Good evening, this is Mark Lynch and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is Laura Thompson, Director of Education and Curator of Kids Space at Mass MoCA. And joining her is longtime friend and artist, Gustav Blasch III. Examples of his work are in the new exhibition, Still I Rise, on view in Kids Space at Mass MoCA till May 2020. Gustav, it's such a pleasure to talk to you again. We go so far back.
Mark, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having us on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, for people who don't know, Gustav and I used to argue about art on the air. It was like
argue, or was it more a steel cage match?
It was like a steel cage match, and that's what made it so good. And Laura Thompson, the Director of Education and the Curator of Kids Space at Mass MoCA, this is the first time you're on, so this will be your trial by fire, okay?
Oh, good. All right.
It won't be that way. It won't be like when Gustav and I get together. We talk issues. We talk major issues.
Me and Laura will slap hands and tag team as she comes in and out of the ring.
Laura, I want to start with you. This show, and I've got to come out and see it, Still I Rise, which is on view till May 2020. This is the choice of artists in this is pretty brilliant. Talk to me about it.
Well, Kidspace, although we have the name Kidspace, a lot of people might think, oh, it's going to be, you know, like a Chuck E. Cheese or some sort of like bouncy ball kind of place. And it actually isn't. It's very sophisticated artwork that I choose for the gallery. I've always been choosing some of the greatest artwork that could be shown in any of the galleries.
Yep, absolutely.
MoCA are shown in Kidspace. And we have been doing a lot of work around social justice issues in our exhibitions. So I've done things on gender and identity, even environmental issues, food and sugar consumption. Freedom is another one. And then we're just coming off of a four-year project where we were dealing with socio-emotional learning experiences. So one of the things that we were covering in it were different habits of mind, and that included empathy, optimism, and courage as ways in which children and adults might be able to better problem solve. And as a result of that project, which we formulated for our local school groups that we have a long-term partnership with, was this outgrowth of wanting to do more with specific topics that are very timely. So in Kidspace, we have our Still I Rise exhibition, which is focusing in on women, portraits of women, particularly women of color, to try to examine some of the issues of what are happening with women these days, and also, you know, to give a sort of a powerful look at the way in which they are being represented in art today.
Let's talk about how many works are there from each artist, just one or several?
It depends on the artist. Gustav has one, which I call the sweet Mona Lisa piece in the gallery, which really, I think...
I snuck in there.
So together, it wasn't really the way that things happen are sort of organically grown. So I originally saw the first work that I saw was for the exhibition was Deborah Roberts' work, and she does these amazing collages.
And Gustav, yeah, feel free to add your comments in too.
I'm a huge fan of Deborah Roberts, but I can attest to what Laura is saying that. Just even in how I was included in this exhibition was a very organic sort of way, you know.
That's cool.
And, just for her to be able to pull it off, actually, to get the work into the exhibition, she had to get it on loan from the owners in time, was amazing into itself. But she was adamant that she wanted it in, and I was grateful.
And that's what a curator does.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about Deborah Roberts. And again, I'm opening it up to both of you. Yeah. I'm familiar with her Little Debbie series.
Yeah.
And she had a piece of The Political Lamb in a Wolf's World, which just the title alone. She works in collage mostly, doesn't she?
Her earlier work was painting. Now she's working in collage. She's moved into, she was predominantly working on depictions of young girls,
right?
And showing how, you know, they have been depicted as, you know, beautiful and who's considered beautiful in different portraiture. And so now she's been, her latest work is working with images of young men. And she's just a phenomenon. Her artwork really could be read at so many different levels. So you can look at it as, wow, this is a very powerful image of a young girl. And then at another point, you can look at it and say, boy, we really haven't done enough for particularly women of color. That, you know, she has one image in the exhibition that is showing a young girl who has one of those plaques in front of her with the numbers as if she was going off to jail. So, you know, it's not that we're shying away from any of the issues when it comes to being in kids' space, but that it was important to show multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. And so Deborah's work really allowed us to do that from, again, these images of girls who seem very empowered to images of girls who, you know, are questioning what is going to happen in their future and how they're being viewed by different people in society.
I have to say, too, and obviously you didn't plan this, but in the light of the last couple of days news, this whole exhibition takes on a real deep meanings and resonances. And again, people need to know that the people plan these, curators plan these shows way in advance. But boy, is this a show whose time is right now and people should be seeing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and actually, it's a weird phenomenon. I don't know what you would call it, but this kind of thing happens a lot of times with Kids Space. So I'll give you another example. I had planned a show on sea life, and I was including in it, you know, beautiful images of fish and cardboard mermaids, and it was great. But I also was including in it an artist, Aurora Robinson, who she includes in her work plastic that was found and washed up on the shores of Hawaii. And just after we opened the exhibition, I guess maybe a week after we opened the exhibition, was the oil spill in the Gulf. So then I went and I asked an artist to create an oil spill in the gallery.
That's always a good idea. So there's people slipping down the gallery and getting covered.
It was made out of, I should say, it was made out of chenille stems.
Okay.
Which are pipe cleaners, but, you know, a representation of it. So we're always sort of, you know, I'm always thinking about what
well,
is happening.
Well, that sounds like one of the things that you can do in that gallery is that you can sort of turn on a dime and therefore amp up what you have on to comment on the news. Let's talk. I want to make sure we get all the artists mentioned in here.
Sure.
So Genevieve Gagnard, is that how you pronounce her last name?
Gagnard. Yeah,
I love these. I love these. These photos are amazing. Talk to me about what she's doing in these photographs.
So she was brought up in a house where her father is black, her mother is white, and she has been dealing with all her life, you know, how does she fit in? Can she pass as white? How she is as a African-American woman. And so her portraiture in particular is representing all those ways in which you might view a person and misjudge them also. Mm-hmm. So she puts herself in these contexts where you make certain assumptions
That's
about
right.
her.
That's right.
And so she really wants us to take a look at that. And she also created for the exhibition an installation. So we're talking about a three-dimensional portrait, if you will, of a young teenager's bedroom. And it's unclear what generation it's from, there's things from, you know, the 80s, 90s, even today, things that you would assume would be maybe in a young girl's room who is a woman of color. It might be, you might assume that it is of a white person's room. Mm-hmm. So it's these assumptions that we make, she's trying to get us to dive deeper into by looking at her installations as well as her photographs.
E2, which are two artists, yeah. How long have they been together working?
I want to say for many, many years.
Because they have
quite a long time.
Yeah, they have an enormous body of work.
Yeah.
Now, what I've seen of their work is they'll take these icons of so-called Western art, and I emphasize so-called Western art, and reinterpret them in really interesting and cool ways. Sometimes it's just outright really makes you realize stuff about images and how they're looked at. But it's really about racial identity, about gender identity, and all sorts of interesting stuff. But they do things about Wyeth. They do a beautiful Grant Wood. I happen to really love the Norman Rockwell painting that they've done. And Whistler's Mother, which is just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great series of work. What work of theirs is on view?
So we have George Washington Crossing the Delaware.
Excellent.
Yeah,
and
I love it.
Renaissance piece of Queen
Elizabeth.
Oh, nice.
And they both are untrained artists and have been really pursuing this. But I thought the reason why I included both of these works was that you get them right away, and they're humorous. So when you're dealing with difficult topics, you don't want it to always be
so
tragedy,
serious.
tragedy. This is difficult. This is infuriating. You want to have some level of humor and wit in as well as some of these other things so that it's digestible. You know, if every piece in the exhibition was bonking people over the head, I think it would do a disservice to them.
Although, I will say about E2's work is, you can't get away with seeing especially a number of their works and not start to think about who gets included in art history.
Yes. And that was important for us to say as well. We're a non-collecting institution, so we don't necessarily have that as an issue. But a lot of our students will go to local museums, including like the Clark and Williams College mm-hmm. Museum. And so they should start thinking about who gets included in the Western canon.
I it's funny because just a couple of years ago at the Clark, I saw Whistler's Mother for the first time. Yeah, I'd never seen it in person.
Wow, they were able to get that on loan?
Oh, yeah. And boy, did they do a whole little thing with that. They had a whole room, not only with the painting, which took up like one wall,
yeah.
But they had like all sorts of parodies of Whistler's wow. Mother, like Mad Magazine and stuff like that installed. Yeah. And that was really cool. But you could sit there and I realized finally what a freaking weird painting is until when you sit there and study it. And then see E2's representation of it
yeah.
actually is a more interesting painting. So it's like for me.
That's a hot take.
Well, you know, and then I want to talk about Tim Okamura. What I've seen of his work is this, it's like Begin Transmission, Loud and Clear, so on and so forth. And I've loved those paintings. What work by him is up on view?
He created two new pieces for
nice.
Specifically for the exhibition. And so he is a Japanese-Canadian artist living in Brooklyn who paints these amazing portraits of women of color. And he decided that he also wanted to start diving into his Japanese heritage.
Mm.
So he paints these portraits where he places them in urban contexts like subways and with graffiti behind them. And he still was doing that, but he's also including some Japanese writing. And the imagery is he's been studying samurais and ninjas.
Oh, wow.
So one of them is a knight and a squire, and that piece is depicting a knight who is, or a samurai who's getting his mask or her mask put on her. And the other is of two pregnant warriors back to back who are making a really powerful stance along this, it looks like a hallway that you are not quite sure what's going on beyond that, but they're very protective of their bodies. And again, that piece in particular says a lot about what's happening with the whole Roe v. Wade right now. And he was even thinking about that when he was painting it, of, you know, that they're protecting their bodies and the babies that they're creating, and that it was really important to show that there are these different perspectives on some of these issues.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is Laura Thompson, Director of Education and Curator of Kidspace at Mass MoCA, and longtime friend and artist Gustav Blanche III, who has a piece in Still I Rise, the exhibition we've been talking about at Mass MoCA, which is going to be up from May 2020. You have no excuse not to see it. And I want to talk to Gustav.
Ah, yeah.
So what work do you have in the show?
I have a piece that Laura wanted called End of Day, which I would, you know, serendipitous, like other parts of the exhibition.
I know, no kidding.
Yeah, with Chef Leah Chase's recent passing in, I guess, June. So, you know, I think, you know, it wasn't planned. It was just a piece. Then you could probably maybe speak to Laura to maybe why she wanted to have that piece on in the exhibition. But it was the first time I actually saw it in seven years since it originally debuted at the New Orleans Museum of Art exhibition covering her in the kitchen. So I'm happy that piece, in retrospect, was selected.
I want to, because we haven't talked in a while, I want to talk about your whole body of work, because I want to talk about series like The Curtain Cleaners, The Mop Makers, mm-hmm. and then finally Leah Chase. There's still something, and I've mentioned this in older interviews, when I've seen your work, and I really love the way, even the technique that you lay the paint on. There's something about, it's something about dignity and quietness of work that comes across in all these series. There's something, I always find the canvases very, and I mean this in the best possible way, quiet in a strange way.
Yeah. I mean, I think there was an exhibition from late 2017 into 2018 that the National Portrait Gallery had called The Sweat of Their Face, which covered labor from...
Yeah,
exactly, from America's inception to its present. And they included another work of Leah Chase in that series called Cutting Squash, which is in their permanent collection. And I think one thing that you get from looking at that exhibition, along with the works, you know, I've been documenting labor maybe over the last 20 years, is
right.
that the work that individuals do, that process in some way is a meditative process, right? And it's something that is often done alone, even within people's cubicles. Even as you're looking at computers and searching through emails, there's still this one-on-one interaction that they're having with whatever process that they're using to perform their tasks. So I think there is the solitude to the paintings that comes out. I'm not going to say that I play it up.
No, you didn't. You're too subtle an artist for that. I would never accuse you of doing that.
Can't you appreciate how portraiture has just come full circle since we first started doing
this? Yeah, I do. I totally admit it. I totally own up to it. Totally own up to it.
Exactly. You know, I mean, I feel like right now, you know, if this were a betting on football or baseball teams, you'd have to wear like a mascot. I have to make you do something. it would make more sense. I could get more out of this, because I'm telling you, we had these talks a long time ago.
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, we're not going to.
I was like the last one, one of the last few keeping it alive.
I know, you were. And so I totally own up to it. I totally own up to it. Hey, I want to, first of all, I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, Talk to me about this art scholarship for aspiring artists from Louisiana.
Oh, thanks for mentioning that. So one thing that, ironically, in some of my many interviews with Leah Chase that came about years ago, she asked me, you know, very fastfully, you know, what are you doing for your community? You know, I think she was trying to encourage me to maybe paint some pictures of family members and give it to her for free. I don't know. But I was like, well, I'm documenting you, for one. And she kind of looked at me sly and started laughing. But it did challenge me in some way to really think about more things that I could probably do for my community also, aside from, you know, documenting her and maybe telling her story. And, you know, I guess it was maybe at the end of 2017, again, I had this idea to see if I could connect young artists from Louisiana to my old art school, the School of Visual Arts. I was very proud of my training. And actually, Tim Akamura, he's a graduate from the program also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I thought that my own journey of seeking education in an art school environment was definitely important to the career path that I've been fortunate to have. And I thought, hey, why not try and knock down the tolls on that road and see if I can help others in Louisiana maybe go down that same path. And so I spoke with the president of the School of Visual Arts and, you know, and also the chairman of the School of Visual Arts MFA program of illustration. And, you know, I then connected with Brian Boyle at the Louisiana Endowment for the Arts in Louisiana in New Orleans, and we kind of started hashing together this plan. And I, you know, wrote my proposal up and submitted it, and it kind of worked. And now we've chosen our first two students. What they get are $25,000 towards their education
wow.
each year.
Wow.
Yeah. It's half the tuition for their 4 years. And then the first person, she's majoring in illustration, and the graduate student is also going to be in illustration in the MFA program, and he'll get half. His tuition is only 2 years as opposed to the four. But I think it's remarkable. My mom joked she wishes that I could re-enroll and get that same scholarship. You know, there's some way of maybe reparations in that form. I don't know. But but it, you know what? It's proven to be a huge success. We're started planning for the next two students that we can select for next school year.
That's fantastic. Are you working on another series now?
Actually, I am. I just, you know, I've quietly been working on a series for the last 2 years, but it took me that long to get access to this facility. And, you know, I mean, I'm kind of, you know, if you know me, Mark, you know, visual journalism is kind of where I'm at.
Oh, I know.
You know, I go into environments, I interview everyone, and, you know, it can be a laborious process. You know, series can take anywhere from 2 to 3 years to even 8 years in the last series on our art conservation. But this series took a lot to pull a lot of arms to get access. Two, and it's still labor focused in a unique kind of way, but I'm not at liberty.
I knew this was coming.
as you've known from previous times, I can't just share or divulge. But I've gone in, I've done the interviews, and now I've just started painting. Actually, over the last month or so, I've just gotten in to the studio again, and after almost a 2 year hiatus, I'm back in. So,
has anybody,
I think last time we talked, I think I talked about maybe even retiring or something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? Come on. I'm still doing this. You can still do that. Talk to me about, has anybody ever documented your process? Like in film documentation?
You know what? No, actually, no documentary. That would be weird. I've never been on the other side in that.
Okay. But I think, you know, when you've talked about it before, and especially at you know, now listening to you talk about it again,
mm-hmm.
the process is as important as the finished product.
Yeah.
And it seems like that it would be really important to get that process documented in some way by somebody who's sensitive enough that they can stay out of your way.
It's tough because
you're trying to talk to these people and get it on an intimate term with them.
Exactly.
So that you can do their and not get in their way when you're sketching and painting and stuff like that. I totally get that, but you know.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, but you know, it's combining journalism and portraiture in some way in movement sort of style of portraiture. And you know, it's different. I'm currently creating a course for the School of Visual Arts just to kind of try out next summer, which will be called Portraiture as Visual Journalism, where it's going to be my process.
Nice.
Sort of.
Okay, talk. You know what? Let's do an interview on that.
Yeah, we can definitely.
Let's do an interview on that. When's the course going to start?
It'll be summer 2020.
Okay, just before it starts, let's do an interview.
Absolutely.
Because I would love to do an entire interview in that. In the meantime, we're completely out of time.
All right.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, man.
I know, see?
You got to give us like a ding or something.
No. Well, you're going to come back. And in the meantime, I want to give the artists, all the other artists, a chance to have their own say in
awesome.
This, too. Laura, please
yes.
Inform the artists that they can have 30 minutes of airtime. And that means it goes up on a website and it also gets aired old style. My guests tonight have been Laura Thompson. She is the Director of Education and Curator of KidSpace at Mass MoCA. Laura, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
Anytime, by the way. Longtime friend and artist Gustav Blanche III.
Yes.
I've had some of my most interesting conversations about art with Gustav, and they continue.
Yes, they absolutely continue.
Both of you, thank you so much for your time. Again, we've been talking about the exhibition Still I Rise on view at Mass MoCA till May 2020. It's a perfect show to go see right now. Thank you both.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate
you.
It.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.